to get you a little revved up and ready for that, my other sister from another mister has, well, Tony, let's turn it over to Tony. Okay. And then I'll see you on the other side. Got you all right?
Okay, Britt. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Here's Tony.
You might have a mom, she might be the bomb. Ain't nobody got a mom like mine. Her love's till the end, she's my best friend. Ain't nobody got a mom like mine. She's my world, she's my heart, and there's no denying. Ooh. I'm a girl, no matter what, even when I'm lying. She's loving me, loving me.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of New York. Whether it's your first time being here with us today, welcome, and please do come back and join us again. And for those of you who are here all the time, welcome. It's so good to see you today. It's so good to exchange energy with you today. All right. It only takes a moment for me to reach back in memory to the house I grew up in, Wayne County, Michigan. I had heard the stories of how my parents had sacrificed and were saving for a larger home and a beautiful neighborhood to raise their steadily growing family. However, the insertion of a major freeway, I-96, also known as the Jeffries Freeway, required immediate evacuation from the two-family flat that my parents made do in. The new home on the west side of Detroit was where my trail of memories began. I'd like to take you there with me this morning. This house was right off of the John C. Lodge Freeway. which is also known as US 10. The street was lined with trees and flowers, and the neighborhood boys played basketball in the back of the house and football in the front. And most of the neighbors knew each other well enough to at least say, "Morning, how you doing? All right now?" Now, I don't know how this tradition began, but somehow, almost like a baptism of sorts, certain areas of this new home acquired names. Like, for instance, if you were on the top floor of the house, you could open a small chute, and it was called the dirty clothes chute, and it went all the way down through the first floor, down to the basement, and landed in the laundry basket. Or the drawer that was in the dining room, the buffet, the top drawer was known as the junk drawer, okay? And it was junky, but you could still find just about everything you needed. Pencils, pens, papers, staplers. Underneath it was, oh, I'm sure you still remember those big telephone books that we used to use way before cell phones, right? Anyway, the house ended up taking on a personality of its own. For instance, the dining room was connected to the kitchen by a swing door that swung in either direction. But in order to open the broom closet, which was right behind the swing door, you had to swing it towards the dining room. If there were activities in the dining room that could not be disturbed, then the swing door was in its neutral, closed position. The dining room was where dinner was served on holidays like Thanksgiving, or when my mom just got in the mood and called people up and said, "Hey, I'm putting food on the table at 4, come by if you can." The extra slats that made the table wider were kept behind the coats in what we call the guest closet. It was really our regular closet that we used for coats and hats and gloves, but when guests were coming, one of my chores was to empty that closet of almost everything to make it look like a guest closet. And then if the guest closet was full, it was my job to say, "Oh, let me take your coat upstairs," without an attitude, and put it in another room upstairs. Now, during tax season, that same dining room table was where my father would sit and get all the tax information for his clients. You see, to have a home like the one we had, my mother and my father had to work multiple jobs in order to pay the mortgage and keep things going smoothly. Sometimes my mother did her lesson plans for her students in the public schools at one end of the table, while my father took care of business at the other end. Or sometimes Mama would just spread sheet music in preparation from one of her 4 choirs for organ or piano. And every room had multiple usages. The main bathroom was on the second floor, but the powder room was on the lower level, right across from the broom closet. But if you were upstairs and you needed to get downstairs without passing through the kitchen or the dining room, you took a small set of steps, which was known as the secret way. Now, the powder room, it was small, but fully equipped with a toilet and a window and a mirror. But behind that mirror, a small cabinet where all the good stuff was, like Bengay and witch hazel or hydrogen peroxide or mercuricone. But I must tell you that my mother had these hands, and there was so much power and authority and love in her hands. She knew her hands were a blessing from when she was a little girl and wanted to become a doctor, but nobody supported that dream of hers because she was a girl. So if she wasn't practicing in the living room on the piano, she might be sitting at the dining room table mapping out a bass line for a new gospel tune for her choir, one of her choirs, because she had 4. But the main thing about my mother's hands is that she could handle anything. She could fix anything. She could grow things, including us, her children. She knew the answer for growing just about anything. And if she didn't know how to cure an ailment or a situation or anything, She would just create it, just make it up and execute it with confidence as if she'd been doing it her whole life. Before I tell you a little bit more about the secrets in that powder room, I want to take you to an area that was underneath everything. Yep. A multi-purpose basement for canned goods, detergents, and any kind of dry goods or cereal or chicken or fish or turkey would go inside the two freezers that Mama had gotten with her coupons to use at the grocery store. But anyway, my mama knew how to make things stretch out. On the other side of the basement was a small stove, and it had a pressing comb and curling irons. And she used to make our hair look like we had got it done professionally. There would be an assembly line of wash and dry and condition and press. And then this is the good part. You got to choose what size curls you wanted in your hair. If you wanted the tiny, tiny curls, or if you wanted the medium size curls, or if you wanted the gigantic curls, Mama would give you the curls that you wanted to make your hair look a little bit fancier for special occasions. Even if you wanted to wear an afro, Mama would blow it out and make it look like you were one of the members of a famous singing group. Now, if you went all the way to the other side of the basement, there was a chest, a big, huge cabinet where Mama kept the linen for the next season. And we used to call that big chest a casket. Even though none of us ever got in it, I don't think. Anyway, the top floor of our home was a regular attic, but my sister, who came home in between life and between marriage, named it the penthouse because she was very fancy and she needed things to sound fancy. And so she would bring her clothes home and put them in the closet. And even if it felt like a desert on that top floor, she still called it her penthouse. Now back downstairs to the powder room. In that small cabinet, there was cod liver oil to clean you out good. And then there was castor oil. Castor oil, cod liver oil, sulfur 8 to keep your hair growing, or Glover's Mane. Now, Glover's Mane could smell up the whole house with a not so pleasant odor. It had olive oil, rosemary, nettle extract, saw palmetto, sulfur, and pine tar. But if your hair was balding or thinning because of bad nerves or whatever, Mama would examine your scalp and apply that Glover's Mane, and before the next season, your hair would be longer than it was to begin with. I told you, Mama had growing hands. If you slump your shoulders, she would straighten you out. And there were days when we had to walk with a book on top of our heads and sing a song, "See me grow so straight and tall, I won't let my basket fall. Eyes ahead, don't look down. Keep that basket off the ground." If your head was down, looking at the ground, or your lips were poked out with an attitude, Mama would take your chin and pick your face up and fix your lips into a smile, even if you didn't feel like smiling. Mama in the kitchen. Mama would make her own dumplings, fresh from scratch. And homemade rolls, pound cake, but those rolls would rise up and grow all puffy underneath her watchful eye while filling our stomachs to the brim with satisfaction. Sometimes if all of my chores were done, and that means Mama didn't add on. You know what an add on is, right? It's like you're finished with your chores and you're just about to announce, "Finish," and Mama would add something else for you to do. Mm-mm, you didn't get that part right there. Mm-mm, do that again. Mm-mm, fix that over there. Mm-mm. But on the days where I finished my chores and I was in the kitchen with Mama, I would sit on a stool by the whatnot shelf. That's a shelf where what did not belong in the drawer was, the things that you needed to be kind of visible. Next to the sign that read, "Them that can brag without lying, let them brag." Which was right next to the sign that said, "Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Mama would pull a skillet out, and that skillet memory in my mind would form a poem like this one from my first CD. It's titled Homemade Magic. Once, when I was just about so high, looking up into that big black iron skillet that my mama still has, I watched her. And I saw vanilla color turn to peach, and from peach color to, brown, and from brown to sepia brown, sophisticated cinnamon. And then my mama would look at me and says, the secret is to keep stirring the flour to make the gravy until you get it the color you want it to be. Then she put me on that big stool by the cabinet and said, before your grandma and them could afford makeup, this is how they made powder for their faces. Just keep the heat down low and stir it kind of slow till you get it that just right shade. And then you got yourself some homemade magic. Homemade magic. Homemade magic. Now, on the outside, the backyard was two-sided. The side that was closer to the back porch, there was a small garden. But on the other side, which bordered what we call the sun porch, a slab of concrete with a swing, a sliding board, and a glider. But surrounding that was a garden full of a majestic array of herbs and plants and food and everything delicious. But everything had to be planted in sequence. My earliest lessons of divine order way before I came to New York and would learn about it in Unity years later. For instance, the soil had to be turned in order to accelerate growth, also known as breaking ground for a new season. Now, in this garden, collard greens, which had to be planted at just the right time, and then there were chives and tomatoes and string beans and sweet potatoes that grew underneath the ground and strawberries that my father planted that still probably come up every year. And there was comfrey, and which was good for strains and aches and pains and to gargle your throat and arthritis, almost everything. And lavender and lilacs and roses and tulips and grass with precious drops of early morning dew. We weren't what people would call well off or highfalutin or rich, but we were rich in spirit. We were rich in love. And even when we got our butts beat or whipped, like parents these days are not allowed to do, you still felt the love because you knew that you were being disciplined with love. And you still got to get called at the dinner table to eat, or mama would still brush or comb your hair or give you cornrows. This is a poem titled, Mama Said. My great-grandmother, Mama Lewis we called her, had her first child at 14. At 28, she was a grandmother. Now, one of her children was my grandmama, who we called Honey. And Honey's firstborn was my mama, and I called my mama, Mama. My mama said that her mama said that her mama said that if you go outside and stand under the first May rain, that your hair will surely grow long. My mama said that her mama said that her mama said that just a tiny pinch of soda out of the box could make your stomach feel so much better. My mama said that her mama said that her mama said that Vaseline and Crisco were just as good as anything else, especially if you don't have anything else. My mama said that when my grandmother sent clothes from the Goodwill to the rest of the family down south, the folks down south thought my grandmama was rich. My mama said that when my grandmother went to visit my grandfather at the hospital in Detroit, that they had put him in a white section. until my grandmama came to visit him, and immediately and without hesitation, he was transferred to the colored section. My mama said that when relatives from down south came to live in their already crowded apartment on the west side, that she slept with her three brothers, two at the head, two at the foot, and the baby Agnes slept in a tiny little dresser drawer to rest her smooth, satiny skin. Now, ain't that a Kodak moment? So, my mama told me, when I came home from school crying because the kids was making fun of my cornrows, that them kids didn't know their history like me. My mama said them kids didn't know how good sulfur ache can make your scalp feel all in between them cornrows. Then my mama would kiss me with thick, warm lips and tell me how good my sugar tasted. Then my mama, like her mama and her mama used to do, started humming a spiritual in a low key, like melody was remedy for whatever needed to be fixed, and she kept on stirring the gravy. Now, when the collard greens of the season still remained sturdy as late as November, Mama said the frost on those collard greens made them more tender and more sweet. See, every season had a meaning of its own. And Mama made the best out of every season. I realize now that my parents hadn't parented those crops. But after a while, those crops knew what to do on their own. Just like our home had a firm foundation and structure, so did those crops. Nobody kept an eye on them day and night. Mama couldn't tell if those sweet potatoes were growing underneath the ground, but she had faith that they were growing, and she had faith that they were sweet. The carrots also growing. We were sure that those carrots would have the vitamin A and the vitamin C that would give us the eye health that we needed. We are just like that garden whose soil needs to be turned, and this is just the right time of the year to do it. It's never too late to be fully alive. No matter how old you are, the breath of life within you is still young and pure and necessary. You are still here because you have a whole lot more living to do. There's one area of the house I didn't tell you about. It was called the breakfast nook, right behind the whatnot shelf. A table, a chairs, window, a small pantry. In that pantry was the cookie jar. Now, even though it wasn't glass and it wasn't a jar, it maintained the name of cookie jar. The breakfast nook became one of Mama's favorite places to just hang out and relax as she got on in her years. And different diagnoses from doctors made me kind of apprehensive and anxious. But then one day I said to myself, I could spend all of my time worrying about how much time Mama has left, or I can enjoy every moment. I realized that the now was way more important than worrying about what might happen, what should have happened, what's going to happen. The last time I saw Mama, I was in the breakfast nook with her. I sat on the floor. I sat between her legs and rested my head on her knees. And she gave me all she could, a nice massage on my shoulders, a massage on my scalp. I didn't want to cut my hair ever again after that. A massage down my spine. Every breath of hers became a breath of mine. And after I left for the airport, and a couple of weeks later, Mom made her journey to the other side. I realize that there comes a time when we ourselves are divinely appointed to nurture ourselves with or without our parents, our mentors, our spouses. Time to go within and trust ourselves to love ourselves fully and completely. The truth is, there's always a remedy, written down, remembered, borrowed, partially forgotten, or newly created. All we have to do is find the right salve to soothe our souls. Please, be gentle with yourself as you prune your garden and gather those moments you wish to cherish. Shonda Rhimes, in her book titled Year of Yes, reminds us to say yes to telling your truth. When you walk into a room, walk in like you bought it and paid for it, and turn the light on. And remember that you are the light. So if you find your light dimming a bit, turn over the soil, apply the salve, and remember that you are a proud child of this universe, and you came here to be you. And no matter where you were born, and no matter where you live right now, you are beautiful, you are worthy, and you can mother yourself back into wholeness if it is your desire. Everything you need is already in your hands. Happy Mother's Day to you. And now, as we close our eyes and quiet ourselves and prepare to meditate, realizing that all is well. As I speak my heart's truth, I give wings to my prayers. I give myself permission to let go and to let God. And knowing that I am surrounded by the energy of spirit, the life force of the universe embraces me, and I give thanks for all that I am and all that I am becoming. I give thanks in this now moment. I let go and I let God as the wings of spirit remind me that all is well. All is well with my soul. All is well in all circumstances. Truly in divine order. every thought I think, every word I speak takes on its own energy. I realize that I am surrounded in beauty, that I am surrounded by trees and flowers and grass and singing, chirping birds, and I am one with all that is, and all is well. Breathe in, I let go, I let God, all is well. As I create my own remedies, as I create my own path, as I create my own journey, I give myself permission to walk in the direction of my highest good at all times. There is no reluctance on my part. There is no resistance, because the God in me is alive and vibrant and free and focused and fearless. I have the confidence to nourish myself, to mother myself, to allow my inner guidance system to lead me in the direction of what feels right, what is right with my soul, and I flourish as I allow myself to be prosperous and to be whole, and to be full of joy. There are no limitations. All is well, and I am free to be myself.
Thank you. she finds your light and holds it in her heart. When stars go out each night,
she grew up to Leah. Beautiful.
Wow. Tony.